Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're full with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the illumination we need to have in order to take advantage of your grace as we deploy your Word under the ministry of the Spirit in the devil's world, as we face the adversities that are part of that and ultimately recognize that you are in charge of everything, allowing what to happen happens to happen for the purpose of ultimately glorifying you and benefiting us as we deploy, again, your Word. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information in this communicator would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few passages related to our zeitgeist, which we've been using lately, I've changed up a little bit, not much, mostly the same. James 1 tells us that, and that we should not succumb to the anger of man. Remember, emotional sins and arrogant sins are part of the sinning of the cosmos, and we have to avoid that. Of course, Satan tries to pull us in by testing us, and God allows it. So the anger of man, verse 20, does not achieve the righteousness of God. So we have to maintain a doctrinal viewpoint, recognizing that God is in charge, and there's really nothing new happening here that hasn't happened before. It's just happening here for the first time, or at least recently for the first time. I think some of this happened prior to the War for Independence. John 3:19-20, this is a condemnation, that the truth has come into the world and the people love the lie rather than the truth because their deeds were evil. So that's where we find ourselves. And because everyone who does evil hates the truth and does not come to the truth for fear that their evil deeds will be exposed. So I've been thinking about our situation, and I think that our president was actually permitted to come here more to reveal the issue rather than to fix it. Because in much of the situation, the fixing of it really kind of above his pay grade because of federalism. So, but the people know now. So the option is left. We'll see what happens if people have the courage to do what's right. Jeremiah 17:9, the human mind is more deceitful than anything else, incurably bad, who can understand it? And Romans 3:10 relates to one of the biggest lies is that people are basically good, whereas God's word says no one's righteous, not even one. And if you have any doubts about that, all you have to do is turn on the TV. Ecclesiastes 8. No man has authority to control the wind, the weather, or the climate, or the authority over the day of death, and no discharge in the midst of a battle, and evil people will not be rescued by their evil. They will sow to the wind and weep to the whirlwind. So that's inevitably what is going to happen here. And we always got to remember that God loves to play chicken with the devil. And the perfect example of that is the flood. He allowed the number of people who were not compromised by the angelic assault that occurred prior to the flood to get down to 8. One family, or one extended family. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not quickly executed, the hearts of the sons of men among them are fully given to do evil. So that this is what is happening, because if you haven't noticed, on the leftist side, nobody's being prosecuted. They're even letting people go, which is ironic. Isaiah 59:14-16. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for the truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking in those, and he who turns aside from the evil makes himself a prey or a target. So standing for the truth today gets you targeted. And they're going to come after us just like they did in China in 1949. I think that's the model. Now the Lord saw it, and he was displeased in his sight, and there was no justice. And he saw that there was no one, and he was astonished that there was no one to intercede. So basically, in this case, no one stood up. Then he, in his own arm, brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. So ultimately, God comes through. And of course, he will hear too. It's just a question of when and how. And we're going to have the opportunity to participate with him as we deploy doctrine. So the Democrat role model for the takeover of the USA is Mao Zedong, the greatest mass murderer of the 20th century. That according to the authoritative Black Book of Communism, an estimated 65 million Chinese died as a result of his cultural revolution. Anyone who got in his way was done away with by execution, imprisonment, or forced famine. The CCP is still using these same merciless tactics to keep the Chinese people enslaved. So if you're a Christian or anything that's outside their normal activities, which means you're subservient to the state, they're putting you in camps. Their Democrat stooges are now using these same tactics in social media to enslave the benighted people of the USA. So that's what's going on. It's a variant of Marxism perfected by the Chinese. And that's what's happening. So that's what's coming to the area next door soon, or maybe where you live, depending on where you live. 1 Samuel 8:7-8. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to what they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me. Like all the deeds which they've done since the day I brought them up from Egypt, even this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also." So we got to realize we can't take this personally. God is really the target. And if you're associated with God as a Christian, you're going to be a target. Because anybody who stands for truth is a target. That's just the way it is. And that's the devil's world. So we must never forget who the real enemy is. Ephesians 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his omnipotent power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And his scheme to take out Trump was phenomenal. I mean, if you look at what happened with Perkins Coie and what they did, they actually, I heard an interview with the guy that did it, I forget his name, but he was the guy that did that created the Russia dossier. Same guy, same outfit. That we ended up being a lie, of course. But they said what they were going to do. They were going to send out a ton of mail-in ballots. And when people voted, they would, if they voted with the ballots, they would vote or whatever, and they would count them normal. But then on the back side, they're going to conflate all the names that the mail-in ballots were set up to with the ballots that they didn't get back and add them up to the number they needed to win in 5 states. Actually, they did it in 6 states. It worked in 5 states. And he said that's what he was going to do a year before the election. So this was a done deal a year before the election. And the only places that could stop it were the legislatures of 6 states. And 5 of them did not. And that's why it went the way it was. And there was no way, and there will never ever be a way for a conservative establishment person to win unless it's fixed. That's where we're at. Because their plan will work, and they can implement it in any statewide election. Which is why it worked again in Georgia for the two senators. They did the same thing. So as long as this is in play, God's people can never win. All right? What does that remind you of? The divine solution is the only solution. The human solution is no solution. Okay? So that's where we got to go. I was thinking back, you know, this has happened before. And Colonel Thieme got caught up in it. 1964. Colonel Thieme was a very close friend of Barry Goldwater. And Barry Goldwater ran for president against Nixon. Nixon beat him. I think Barry was his vice president that year. John Kennedy won that election because the exact same thing happened in Chicago. And the people up there stopped the vote, added up the vote, got the votes that John Kennedy needed to win. Stole the election. Same thing happened. Nothing different. Exactly what happened. And so I'm sure that is where he was recognizing the divine solution is the only solution. So we're just in the same. I mean, we were here in 1964. Nobody hardly knew about it. It was only after the fact that they figured out what happened. But it was a close election. But that was a major turn to the left. Even though back then, what was left isn't left. We're miles down the road. I mean, today, John Kennedy would be a conservative Republican. All right? But whatever, back in the day, if you read about conservatism, one of the major writers on the topic was Goldwater. He's written some pretty interesting books on the topic that I've read. So, anyways, that was a situation I'm personally familiar with. And there's nothing new under the sun. So they just re-implemented it on a different scale. Now it's solved by computer and stuff. So, schemes of the devil. That's what we're up against. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So that's what we're up against. I mean, that's why the divine solution is the only solution. We don't have the power to deal with it. And there's no political solution to the problem. So technically it can't be resolved at this level. I mean, we'll see. God has to resolve it. We'll see how he chooses to. But he will resolve it. But he's going to let it get a lot worse probably before it gets better. That tends to be the way he plays, because remember, he likes to play chicken. The people who oppose God's word of truth are deceived, so they are the devil's stooges. We see this in John 8. You, the ruling class, are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So this is what we're up against, too. Even when they're telling the truth, they're lying. Okay, because it's a half-truth at most. He goes on to say, because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts? See, that's what we have today. We have, in our country, we have a divergence of viewpoint such that there's no crossing over. They're talking about, unity. It's impossible. You got the same amount of unity as you can have with light and darkness. Not happening. There's no unity with light and darkness. Sorry, doesn't exist. It's mutually exclusive. So that's where we're at. And the reason for that is the viewpoint of either side is diametrically opposite. So there can never be any unity, even though they talk about it. That's part of their lie. Who always compromises in unity? Does the dark side compromise ever? No. Never. If anybody compromises, it's God's people. God's people have to stop compromising. Period. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God for his reason. For this reason, you don't hear him because you're not of God. It's that simple. That's what we're up against. So Satan's stooges always criticize, falsely accuse, blaspheme, and kill God's messengers. Matthew 23:33. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of the lake of fire? Verse 34, therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute, chasing them from city to city. Luke 22:65, and they, that is Satan's stooges, that would be the ruling class of that day, also accused him of many other things, blaspheming him. Now, he was the Son of God. He stood for absolute truth. He was absolute truth. And it's interesting to note that the correlation between our president and Jesus. Now, I know that falls out because Jesus is perfect and our president's not. But from an established perspective, there's a lot of correlation. Who was worse, the Pharisees or Judas? Think about that. Who's worse, the Democrats or the Rhinos? Same equation. Jesus came to reveal the truth. So did our president. Everything that's happened to our president happened to Jesus first. Jesus was the emissary to the Jewish client nation. I believe our president is the emissary to the final or almost final Gentile client nation. Yeah, we'll see. Well, there might be one more. But if there is one more, it's within the borders of this existing geography. Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Canada, Mexico. Somewhere in here is going to be. Not unlike what happened in Europe with the fall of SPQR. Because as it came out of SPQR in the 300 to 400s AD, the technical readout for the fall of the SPQR is 476. So then it propagated over into France. Spain and France. Actually, France was first. Charlemagne. He's like 800. All right, so it kind of migrated that way. But before all that, I mean, Constantine was in the 300s. Guess what was happening in the Roman Empire when Constantine was making Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire? This is an interesting conflation I didn't sort out until this morning. Attila the Hun. Who's that? China! The Huns were attacking from the eastern edge of the Roman Empire. In fact, they were part of the fall of it. They were part of what precipitated the fall. All the way to Europe, all the way to England. They attacked all of Europe. from these. And who's attacking us? Same people. And correlation too, baby. Fall of SPQR, fall of USA. China. And they took, I mean, the people don't read much about them, but they were big deals. Lucilla was one of the later ones. But he extended their rule to a kind of rule. They had a loose system of government. So they didn't really control, but they did certainly tear things to pieces. And I think that's what we're up against. We're basically in the same spot that SPQR was in 300, 350 when the Huns came in. We're almost correlated time-wise as far as the fall of the nation. So nothing is new. It happened at SPQR event. There was a resurgence in the country, in SPQR or in Europe, that caused the pivot to migrate. That's what happened. France/Germany. Depends on which side of the, right on the border. Been there. Been to Charlemagne's place. Then you got Spain, which came up later in Portugal, and then up through the Holland and some kind of into the Baltic states who briefly, and then out into England and over here. So nothing new under the sun. So never forget that what Satan and his minions believe is truth is always a lie. Never ever give them any quarter, never ever consider anything they say as truth, because it's never the truth, even if it seems like it is, because they use half-truth to advance their false narrative through manipulation and deception. And what's the first example of that? Satan talking to the woman in the garden. What were his operative words? You will not die. Half-truth. The answer to the question was, you will die spiritually, but you won't die physically. See? It was true. She didn't die. But she did die. Half-truth. That's the kind of truth the left has in this country. So don't forget that. Even if it sounds like it's not the truth, and it even may well be a partial truth, it's not the total truth and nothing but the truth. John Adams says, our Constitution was made only for a moral religious people when it's wholly inadequate to govern of any other. This means that if voters become Democrat socialists, tyranny will be necessary because the Constitution is totally inadequate to restrain lawless socialists that are desecrating our country today. And every nation is only one generation from tyranny, and that we are in that generation. Deception from the false narrative is not an excuse, because people who are deceived choose to be deceived. This means that for good or bad, for freedom or tyranny in the USA, the voters are still responsible. So ultimately it comes down to the people. And that's us. So we're going to either get out of here with the exit resurrection, or we're going to move. One or the other, we don't know yet which. So in our study of Smyrna, the base of the pivot power for the first Gentile nation, this took us to a study of the doctrine of the edification complex that we're almost done with. Because we noted how the pivot is formed. It's formed on the basis of the edification complex, which is the power of God in your soul, creating a frame of reference for thinking doctrine. And when we stopped last time, we were noting the characteristics of the floors of the edification complex of the soul. Now this thing starts, remember, the foundation of the whole thing is Jesus. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. So eternal life, and the spiritual assets conveyed at the moment of salvation are the foundation. And everything else is parlayed off of that. It's just an implementation of the truth that Jesus brings when you're saved. So these various categories are just doctrinal concepts that get layered on top of each other and parlayed into greater power as you move up, in essence. But the baseline is still Jesus. It never changes. So the fifth floor is spiritual autonomy, characterized by cognitive independence. At this point, the believer has grown up because he's developed all of the doctrinal rationales that are necessary to persistently slog through life in the devil's world and glorify God. Remember, you start out as a believer claiming promises. Now, these are promises that are in isolation. They're valid, but they're only so powerful because of the way that they're in isolation. So rationales synergize promises. So you bring multiple promises together and come up with a conclusion based on the synergy of the promises. So in the concept of synergy is the total is greater than the sum of the parts. So the whole thing together is more powerful than the fragments. So in essence, it's a unification of the thought processes of the soul. Where if you're claiming promises, it's fragmented. You have a unified thought process when you get to this point. Here there is more suffering for blessing. Now what happens here is God allows pressure to come along, and we're going to note how the people in Smyrna are under this pressure as we're speaking. Not unlike what we're about to face here today. Very similar, in fact. And yet they're the pivot. They're the place where this is the outfit that's running the show, really, well, providing the baseline for the spiritual support that country or nation needs to function. And it did for another 400 years or so. So we're talking, Smyrna is like what? In the 80s. 80s, 90s. In that area. So, because the people of Jerusalem had fled there from that 70 AD. They were out of Jerusalem. And so many of the Jews were there. That's why there was an issue with Jewish people in Smyrna. Because the Christians weren't the only people who'd fled. A lot of other Jews had fled too. Anybody with a brain got out of Jerusalem, you know, in 70. Those that didn't died. All right. So, I mean, even the ones that fled down into the east over towards the Dead Sea. There's a big, huge fort over there. They were killed. Every one of them. We've been there. It's a pretty cool place. In fact, while we were there, they were flying. I don't think they were F-35s. The Israeli Air Force was flying practices right over top of us. But it's in the that desert out there between Israel and Jordan. So, you know, it's Manada or something like that, because that's what it sounds like. It's a big thing. But they actually built a rampart up the wall, and that's how they got in. They couldn't get in any other way. And that's where Herod ended up. That's where he ended up dying. So anyways, that's neither here nor there, but that's, again, it's all happened before. So they were under suffering for blessing. And they got out of Dodge, and they moved to Smyrna, amongst many of them, because that was the next close place that went through Syria and up into the Greece, where they had more freedom. Here there's more suffering for blessing in the form of momentum testing, if there's going to be any advance. Spiritual autonomy plus momentum testing equals spiritual maturity. So anytime we have a spiritual advance, there's pressure brought. God allows circumstances that bring pressure. And that pressure creates a coagulation in their soul. Because doctrine without pressure is just kind of there. When you get pressure, now you've got to put this up to use. So that's why it's testing at every stage, basically, once you reach spiritual independence or self-esteem. The sixth floor is spiritual maturity, characterized by cognitive instability is necessary to pass the third category of suffering for blessing, which is evidence testing. Spiritual maturity plus evidence testing equals glorification of God to the maximum as a witness for the prosecution in the rebuttal phase of Satan's appeal trial that runs coterminously with human history. So this is where this is the battle we're in. We see in Ecclesiastes 8 that no one is exempted from the battle when they're in a war. Well, we're in that war. It's not an overt war, at least not at the moment. But generally it's not. It's a thinking war. It's a battle of thinking. And that, of course, occasionally does boil out into a real war, but not often. It did in our country at the point of the War of Independence. So what we're facing right now is more like that. It's not a civil war. Not like we had back in 1860. There was much more agreement between the people in the war between the states than there is now. And the model for the switch is the same as the battle of the War of Independence. Britain was able to maintain its own identity and its own government. But the people, by the Declaration, the founders, said, you can keep your government, we want our own. Well, that's what we need to be doing here. Somewhere. I mean, that's and a dichotomy between Britain and the colonists at that point is very similar to the dichotomy we have now between the leftists and the divine establishment people. Satan versus God. All right, very similar. The Civil War was more of a coagulation of, as I've noted, of the aristocracy, the landed gentry, and the industrial complex. So that was actually a fusion. Now, there was a battle there. Didn't have to be, but there was. Because had they waited 10 years, there wouldn't have been a need for it. the name Samuel Gomper should come into mind. That's the cotton press guy. Okay, the cotton gin. Well, at that point, all mechanization came into play and the need for slavery was gone. Okay, it doesn't mean it wouldn't continue, but it wasn't necessary anymore. And that was across the entire, the technological advances that occurred since that point are huge. I mean, it's amazing what we've done. And that's because of all the things that we have today that are now coming around to bite us, our industrial complex. And we're in the late stages of that with the information age. So, because what's happening now is there's a filter being placed on, or a limit being placed on who, what you can talk about and where, how. Okay? That's what's happening. So that's the failure of the industrial complex. That happens really late in the cycle of a client nation. In fact, that's the last thing that happens before they're gone. The seventh floor is a function of the invisible hero with his invisible impact. Invisible God plus invisible assets produce invisible power that equals invisible heroes. And the invisible impact of the invisible hero includes personal impact that is blessing by association to others. So this is the concept of the pivot. Historical impact that is blessing by association to the client nation is part of the pivot of mature believers. International impact is blessing by association to non-client nations through the missionary activity of invisible heroes. So if you look at who's involved with missionary activity at this juncture, it's primarily the United States. There's a few people from Britain and places that are involved in it too, in Germany even. But it's very, very, very minimal. Angelic impact is where the invisible hero becomes a witness for God against Satan in Satan's appeal trial. And heritage impact is blessing by association to loved ones after the death of an invisible hero. So there, again, this is actually the most advanced spiritual status a person can be in. In essence, it's the apex of your relationship with God. And the basis for the extension of the client nation in history. The results of the construction of the edification complex of the soul include the manufacture of the invisible hero and the five areas of invisible impact function as an invisible hero. The distribution of escrow asset blessings for time and the anticipation of blessings for eternal received at the judgment seat of Christ. So that all comes into play here. So edification is the motivation in the function of virtue love. The royal family honor code and the congregation through which tolerance provides room for spiritual growth. See, the pivot is tolerant. If you haven't noticed, the left is not. They're intolerant. In fact, you will. I mean, the best example is the Borg. You will comply. That's their MO. And if you're not going to comply, we will re-educate you. Well, that's coming. Not too far away. Romans 5, you'll have a choice, to be re-educated or die. I think death is probably a superior situation in that situation. Romans 15:2. Let each of us accommodate his neighbor for the good of edification. See, the point here is we're to be tolerant so people can advance if they're choosing to do that. Romans, or 1 Corinthians 8:1c, knowledge or gnosis puffs up, but virtue love builds the edification complex of the soul. And in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but all things do not edify. So as a believer, you have freedom to do things. Remember, you have the law of liberty and the law of freedom. The law of liberty gives you lots of things to do that may not be appropriate in certain circumstances. And Paul was always talking about not offending people. It doesn't mean you weren't free to do it, but don't do it in such a way as it would offend people. So he contrasted the Jew and the Gentile. And the Jews had a whole bunch of issues with certain things that were in the Old Testament, the ritual plan. There were artifacts of the ritual plan that they brought with them into the church. And so they're comparing people, comparing themselves with others that didn't have that, and they're judging each other. And a lot of their judging in the church occurred between those two groups of individuals. And so that was the source of great issue within the early church. Now, we don't have that today because the Jewish element, for the most part, is gone. I mean, in the sense that it existed then. But remember, the entire church from the beginning was Jewish. And they moved, or were forced out of, would be a better way to describe it, by being chased down by people like Paul, and then ultimately by the Romans. And they were chased out of the Jewish area of Jerusalem before it was destroyed. The edification complex of the soul is the capacity for the escrow blessing, Acts 9:31. All the church were having prosperity, having been edified and advancing in occupation with Christ. So the basis for prosperity is this edification complex. Now, it may not create physical, temporal prosperity. Well, it does, but that may be a point of issue. That's what we're going to see in Smyrna. They've come under assault because of the blessings they've received from God, to the point where they've been plundered by the parasites. Well, we're just about to have that happen here. You see, the plundering of the parasites is what's about to happen. The parasites being the leftists. They had the same thing going on. So that's what's about to happen here. Local church prosperity is directly related to the number of edification complex in that local church. The edification complex of the soul is to the church what the pivot is to the client nation. So, in essence, the more people advancing to maturity within a local assembly are going to create more capacity within that local assembly. The same, and then the community of churches or a bunch of churches work as a pivot for the nation. Now, as we can see, our country's in serious decline, so this is something that's getting depleted. This brings us back to our main study on the Church of Smyrna that became the base of the pivot for SPQR that was being plundered by the envious fascist socialists in the Roman government. So they had the same problem we had. Romans, back to Revelation 2:9. We're going to look at this in the original languages. Let me make sure I have my... I think this is in same passage. Let's see here. I don't think it is. Let's make sure it is. No, I want Nestle Allen. I want to go back. New American Standard. That way I can jump between the American Standard and the Greek. There we are. Yep. In the two pages. So the verse begins with oida. That means cognizance. I know your is what it says in the New American Standard. It refers to the Lord's omniscience regarding the status of the church in Smyrna that would contribute to hundreds of years of glory to client nation SPQR. See, this is kind of towards the beginning of SPQR becoming, in fact, it is, really. This is when the Jews who are believers are moving into the Roman Empire. Now, it's the Greek side of it, but it doesn't matter. And this is where the churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are. It's in that area. That's now Turkey, as we'll be noting. Where millions and millions of people were led to salvation through faith in Christ. So you can say that, for hundreds of years, they did a lot of evangelism all over the place. Now, I didn't say they didn't have problems, they did. And their doctrine wasn't necessarily good either, because it got messed up by the Roman Catholic synergy with the pagans. Syncretism, wrong word. Syncretism. Because they used the pagan rituals to become church holidays, which is not really a valid usage, but whatever. They did what they did. They still evangelize a lot of people. The accusative singular direct object of thlipsis is next referring to pressure. So tribulation is how it's translated in the New American Standard. And we see it over here in the Greek. There's your affliction. It's translated here. There's our word thlipsis in the bottom corner. You can see direct there. So thlipsis is the next referring to pressure, to affliction, to the various disasters that often occur in life. It's translated, I know about your pressures. It's in the singular gathering up all of the pressures of these people into one concept. So these folks are under assault because they're believers, and that's the point we need to realize. And really, that's why we're going to be under assault. It's because of the viewpoint we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't noticed, that's what they're actually attacking. Now, I haven't got to the point so much of actually identifying it with Christianity. But if you hold to the views of Christianity, you are in diametric opposition to the leftists, if you haven't noticed. There's a point counterpoint on every one. So the real war here, they're talking about the founding and all that stuff, that really all that stuff's an artifact of Christianity. So the spiritual war is against Christianity and God's people. So the real assailant here, the attacker, is Satan. The people that are doing it are his stooges. Okay, and of course that's the level that we're working with on at the first level. But we got to recognize it's Satan that's really running the show. Then we have the conjunction chi, that in this case is best translated even. It is followed by an appositional accusative noun patoka, that means poverty. So it goes, I know your poverty. So I know your tribulation and your poverty, is what the New American Standard says. With the generic use of the definite article ho, indicating that the poverty was because of a specific reason. So this wasn't any normal poverty. A lot of poverty comes from people who are failing to be responsible. That wasn't these people. These people had been made had been impoverished. That's about what's ready to happen here. Ordinarily it means poverty, but here it's more than just poverty, so we'll translate including the destitution. So destitution brings into understanding the fact that they were rich and they became poor. They became destitute. Now, why was that? The government. All right? Nothing new. That's exactly what's going to happen here. I mean, it's going to be really good for about a year maybe, or two. Then it's going to get really bad. Now, you might say, why do you say that? Because they're printing all this money. So, what they're creating is an imbalance between the supply side and the demand side. As they print all this money and hand it out by the barrelful, there's no increase in supply. So when this money starts chasing the stuff, there's going to be a lack of stuff compared to the demand, and there's prices that are going to go through the roof. And that's going to have a whole lot of other impacts. You know, one of them is going to be interest rates. Interest rates are going to go from almost zero, or in some cases below zero in Europe, through the roof. 10, 12, 14, 15, 20%. Maybe could be higher than that. You know, could do 100%. Why? Well, that occurs when you have this huge imbalance between supply and demand. The last time we had a big one of these was back when the baby boomers were graduating out of college, back when we started. When I bought my first house, I paid 14% interest. Right? So, I mean, we never paid less than 8. So that just tells you where we were back then, because compared to where things are now. Now, what has happened since then is the thing has switched. The demand side has been reduced compared to the supply because of the industrial complex. So with a few exceptions, like certain natural resources that have gone up in price, up and down, though, like oil and even food has gone up if you look back historically, but not out of line. You're going to see spikes. You're going to see just plain not available. Right? That's coming. Now, it may take a year for that to happen, but it's going to happen. It has to. Because this supply-demand imbalance is being maximized. And it's going to come back and really bite, not too long. It's going to take a year or so for it to happen. I mean, this bug has got to get resolved first. So whatever that means, well, however that gets done, who knows? It's all fake anyway, pretty much. People's attitude towards being locked down has got to be eliminated. And once normal, put that in quotes, normal's never coming back. But as normal as we can get comes back, then that supply imbalance, demand imbalance is going to be placed. So the place right now to look at the supply-demand imbalance is gunpowder. Try to buy any. Primers. Try to buy any. Parts to reload. Try to buy ammunition. There aren't any. Any that's out there is quadruple, 10 times what it was just 2-3 years ago or less. That's going to happen across the spectrum. Now, I think a lot of that's contrived because the government's forcing people out of business. But it's going to get worse. This tells us that the poverty is for a specific reason. Smyrna was a wealthy city, and many believers were or had been extremely prosperous financially. Many of the believers in Smyrna were impoverished and killed by the Roman government. There were people who made this a profession. There were also wealthy Jewish corporatists who hated Christians and delighted in eliminating and destroying Christian business enterprises by using deceptive business tactics. So they would align themselves with the Romans and assault Christian activity. You're going to see this happen here. In fact, if this has already happened. What's the outfit that's called was the competing outfit for Twitter, whatever. There you go. So that's a leading edge on that. That's the canary in the coal mine. For the believer in Smyrna, this was a suffering for blessing. See, God has a plan here. He's promoting his people. It just doesn't look like it. The spiritual status of these believers is mentioned in next. Their financial success was mentioned because they were under pressure and were suffering privation because of their faith in Jesus Christ, which is why we're going to be suffering. The spiritual status of the believers is given after the adversative conjunction Allah. Allah is a comparative conjunction. It's but. So this is but. Those who say but, there you go. You've got two buts here. But you are rich. So you've got but here in two places. If you go over here, you'll see there's our Allah. Okay, there's two of them. So there's two adversative conjunctions here. And Allah is a strong adversative conjunction. So it's setting up a comparison of great degree. In this case, the first one is you rich and poor. So in one category of their life, they're very poor, destitute, having been made destitute by the plunderers. And on the other side, they're very rich. So that's an enigma. Now, but God's letting it happen for the purpose of testing. You know, there's no inherent they have no inherent status of poverty, because God can grace them out through logistical grace, and he will at the right time. Now, this is like saying Jesus was poor on the cross. Well, yeah. In a sense, he was, because he was being judged for the sins of the world. But at the same time, he was the richest person ever. So that's an enigma. See? So he does the same thing with his people. He puts his people into a place where there's an enigma. Their experience is not matching their reality, or their spiritual reality. He allows that to happen in the devil's world. And that's what we're about to face. And these people were in it. So the believers in Smyrna was suffering. The spiritual status of the believers is mentioned next. The financial status is mentioned because they were under pressure and were suffering privation because of their faith in Christ. The spiritual status of believers is given after the adversative conjunction Allah, that's correctly translated but, followed by plousios, translated rich. So that corresponds to a spiritual richness, as we'll see. And then the present active indicative aimi, which means you are. So the perfect present tense refers to a fact that has come to be in the past, that the believers of Smyrna have become mature believers. So these folks have the edification complex of the soul. So, in a normal world, they would be super rich. And they had been, until God allowed Satan to attack them. And he used, of course, their environment for that, because they live in it. That's exactly the way it is with us. Our country is super rich. Compared to other countries in the world, we are the richest. But we're soon to become impoverished because of the way the politicians are running the show. This sets up a contrast between the financial poverty of the believers of Smyrna and their spiritual prosperity, because they were living and functioning inside God's spiritual power system and passing momentum testing by dealing with the adversities. They were handling their adversities with the filling of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and God's Word of Truth. So these people hadn't gone over to the dark side in their reaction. They stayed in the spiritual life. That's what we have to do. No matter what the pressure, we got to stay with truth. They had done this at the cost of all of their wealth and possessions. But even though they were in a state of financial poverty, they possessed spiritual maturity, and along with this, the edification complex of the soul. That's the target of God's super grace blessing, and something that very few people in history ever attain. So again, this is an enigma, which means it was going to be a short-term situation. That's the one thing about it. If God allows certain destitution to occur with his people, but it's temporary. Well, they're temporary. In other words, the destitution is either resolved on this earth or they're exited out of here. Remember, the death of God's people is a blessing in his sight. So we got to have an eternal viewpoint on this. God's exit plan for us may be death, because he's just done with us here. We did our job. We stood our ground. And he brings us home to stop having to deal with it, because there's still things that got to happen. You know, I think that's somewhat of what's going on with this China virus. Some of the people that are being taken out are pivot people. they're old at this point. But the best thing he can do for them is get them out of Dodge, because things are going to get about to get really, really bad. All of this, all of the possessions in life are related to wealth. Of all the possessions in life that are related to wealth and success, there's none greater than the edification complex of the soul. Believers with an edification complex are spiritual multi-billionaires. So that's why it's setting up the enigma between their spiritual status and their temporal status, which is not unusual for God's people. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, if they love me, they will love you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So we should anticipate persecution. Now, we've lived a relatively tranquil life for a bunch of years here because our nation has been ascendant. And the divergence away from truth hasn't got to critical mass. But now it is. So we're at the place where that divergence is going to occur rapidly. And it's going to fail. It's going to be a tipping point. It's just going to be a bang. It's going to be shocking. It's almost shocking already when you look at it. But if you haven't been shocked yet, you're going to be about what's going to happen in a very short period of time. It's the highest and greatest thing that can happen to anyone in life, and its repercussions go far beyond the possessions of the edification complex of the soul from the possession of spiritual maturity. Believers with edification complex are the only ones who contribute to the blessing of the client nation and the uptrend in historical trends of human history. So this is what the leftists don't get. They're whining and complaining about white privilege, but they totally miss the point. They don't understand. It ain't about white privilege. It's about the new spiritual species. Now, it so happens that the people who have constructed the edification complex have largely been from Western Europe, which is where the people tend to be white. But that's just the detail. Any time that the structure has been created in any people, anywhere, it's become a blessing. So they're completely missing it. So they're assaulting the wrong thing. Well, they're assaulting an artifact of the situation, not the reality. All greatness and all achievement, all aristocracy and all high class versus low class, all came out of one thing. Everyone starts on the same basis, the use of volition and having established a system of priorities and the right scale of values where God's word of truth comes first. That's basically the baseline. Now, in our country today, it's being rejected, or has been rejected, by, I don't know, some large percentage of the country, maybe upwards of half or more. We don't really know what that number is. Next we have the noun plusius. That means rich. In this case, therefore, refers to spiritual wealth, so it's referring to the status of being a mature believer. So we have the rich, there's your rich, and there's our word plusius in the bottom corner. It comes up on the pop-up. We then see that there's an opposition from the Jewish community. This opposition is stated with the adjunctive use of the conjunction chi, that is translated and, so there's your and right there. And we have an ellipsis which demands the repetition of oida, that means also I know. So there's the second oida is not there, but it's implied by the ellipsis. But it points back to the previous I know. So I know you, I know this. So Jesus is talking to them. He says, I see your tribulation, I see your poverty, I see your wealth, I see the accusations that are being made against you. Okay, and that reverts back to the I know in the beginning there. So these are those who say they are Jews. Now here we have the identification of people who are Jewish but not Jews, which is, we'll talk about that. That's what can happen here. Because they're not believers. See, we're going to see a passage that says a true Jew has to be a believer. Now, why do you say that? Well, because the Jewish race is from the line of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what set them apart in that line? Believing. Okay? So there are people that are of the Jewish race that propagated from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are not of Abraham. Because they haven't believed. Jesus has told the Pharisees, in fact, in our passage in John 8, he was telling them that being a genetic connection to Abraham wasn't sufficient. Because what had Abraham done that they hadn't? Abraham believed. Genesis 15:6. So Abraham had believed in God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So the basis of the gene pool, if you want to call it, the spiritual gene pool of the new spiritual species is believing in Jesus. And so you can be a member of the temporal gene pool and yet not really in that class, because the blessing that accrues to that gene pool is in eternity. Now, if you remember, Abraham had all these different groups of people that were part of his heritage. And he's had, as the sands and the seashore, as the stars in the sky, all that's eternal. But that's his heritage. That goes on to his future, and the promises of God is part of the Abrahamic covenant. And so to participate in that, you have to have what? Eternal life. But the Jews we're talking about here, and the Jews that Jesus dealt with, didn't have eternal life. They hadn't believed. See, so a true Jew is a saved Jew. That's a long way of saying what that is. A true Jew is a saved Jew. And a unsaved Jew is not a true Jew. Okay, that's what we're going to make that point here. And that's what he's saying. That's what Jesus is telling them. So, I know, this is followed by accusative singular direct object of the noun blasphemia, that's transliterated, it means slander, but it's transliterated. So blasphemy comes from blasphemia, so you notice the similarity of the words. So remember, when you're looking at the original, you have two kinds of, deal with it in two ways. You either translate it or you transliterate it. Now when you transliterate it, you have to go back to the original and sort out what that meaning is. Because the meaning doesn't necessarily come along with the transliteration. So you still got to go back to the original and look at it. So it talks about evil speaking, slander, whatever. You know, that's accusation. You know, that's going on now. I mean, everything, that word applies to our president. We saw it, we were talking to Jesus back in Luke, I mean, when we started. But everything they've done to him is that word. You know, I he's got to be in evidence testing. I don't see how you do what he did. You know, he's had issues. But man, I'll tell you, how many people could stand up to that and be successful as he was? And it's all a lie. We're going to find out here in the next week, day or two or week, whenever they start the, if they start the hearing on his latest fake impeachment. Crazy. Whatever. They impeached Jesus, too. They put him on the cross. He wasn't a bad guy. He was perfect. And he still put him on the cross. So, the president's got a good company. It's pretty amazing. So, let's see. Where were we at? Blasphemia. That means slander. And when we have the source of slander, ek, plus the ablative, a plural of the definite article, used as a demonstrative program, plus the present active participle of lego, translated from those who say or allege. So these people are saying they're Jews. Now they're Jewish race. They have a Jewish, they're in the Jewish religion and they're of a Jewish race, but they are not true Jews in the sense that God defines Jews. The descriptive present tenses for what is now going to be on the active voice, the racial Jews or religious Jews, produce the action of the verb. The religion motivates evil. Christianity motivates good. So this is a circumstantial participle. So the dichotomy, what's interesting is the people that are being assaulted by these Jews are Jews. You've got to realize that. See, that was the big problem. So, and see, these Jews are rhinos in our current context. All right? They're rhinos. We refer to them as that. So there's a direct parallel between what we got. Well, just different words, but it's the same. These Jews that aren't Jews are rhinos in our country. So then we have the accusative general for reference of the proper noun Laodiceus. That means a Jew by birth. It's an I-O-U. So when you see the word Jew here, there's our word. I-O-U-D-A-I-O-S. That means a Jew by birth or race, a Jew by country or by religion, but not a person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of Israel or Messiah. You see, so these people had the right race and stuff, but they hadn't connected the dots to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. In other words, it is referring to unbelieving Jews. The Jewish population of Smyrna was a very antagonistic toward Christianity because they considered Christianity to be a threat to their relationship with the Romans. See, the Christians were also Jews. But the point of issue was not their Jewishness, and we're going to make that an issue. So it's not a racial thing, it's Christianity. And of course, that's why they're what rich is their Christianity. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to study your word and for the recognition that it gives us about the situation that we face here in this country that's about to be repeated. Help us to look back and see how you come through for your people and to recognize that you will come through for us at the proper time to the maximum glorification of your person and to our maximum benefit. Help us to recognize that and to wait patiently on you, because the divine solution is the only solution. We ask this, thank you now in Jesus' name, amen.